Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and it's good to have you here once again talking about evangelization. Got a great show for you today, talking to some really interesting people about evangelization, growing in your faith, and coming to know Jesus in a much closer way. How many of you have heard of Dr. Boyle? Dr. Boyle is going to be joining us today, Dr. John Boyle and his wife, Dia, and they're going to be talking about Opus Dei. Maybe you've heard about Opus Dei. Well, we're going to talk all things Opus Dei today. A little bit later on in the show, find out what that is and who's involved and what you can get out of this in terms of your relationship with the Lord. How can this help facilitate that relationship with Jesus? We're also going to be talking in just a few minutes with three lovely ladies, Shannon Conroy, Susanna Boley, and Mary Burns. They are just returning from Washington, D.C., where they were part of a fantastic women's forum on Catholic women's leadership. It was called Given, and they had some of the most engaging speakers out there to talk to them, and they're going to be sharing with us this new initiative, which is really unique. And if you're not a young woman, you're still going to be interested, because the principles that they're talking about and what they learned out there in terms of building a platform or building a kind of an initiative in their own life, what they want to do for the Lord, those can be translated to anybody. So you're going to get an awful lot out of that. A little bit later on in the show, also, I'm going to talk about two prerequisites, shall we say, to really getting everything out of the Mass that you can. There are two major things that we assume are going on in your life if you're going to get the most out of the Mass. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show. Well, it's a lovely day in the Twin Cities, and it looks like it's going to remain that way for quite some time, and that's a good thing. I want to remind you once again, as I do on many of the shows, to be intentional, be conscious about your relationship with Jesus. And remember that you are called to be more than just a believer, because there's a lot of people who believe, but you're called to be a disciple. You're called to follow Him. And those two major ingredients to faith have to always be at the forefront of our thinking, our actions, and that is, yes, we do believe Jesus, and we believe what He taught, and we believe that He's the Son of God, and we believe that He's the Creator of the universe, and we believe that one day we'll stand before Him. We believe that He died for our sins. We believe all of that, and we believe everything that the Church has taught us and that Jesus has passed on. But believing is not good enough. Faith without works, as they say in Texas, is dead. It's dead. And you need more than just faith. You need to put this into practice in every area of your life, and that's what we call a personal entrusting of yourself to Jesus. And we entrust ourselves to Jesus in every area of our life, in our own personal life, you know, in our thought life, in our marriage, in our job, raising children, your finances, your business trips, whatever it might be. You entrust yourself to Jesus. And that means that there should be some evidence in your life that you really are trusting Him with your life. Maybe your finances are not the best right now. Maybe it's looking a little bit difficult in the job situation. As we're speaking right now, the Great Britain, the UK, is pulled out of the European system, the common market over there, the union. And the world is upset. The stock market is tumbling. But guess what? I don't think Jesus is all up in arms about this right now. You know, if we follow Jesus with our life and we entrust ourselves to Him, He tells us that it's going to work out. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are these things? These are the things that the pagans get all upset about. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Where are you going to live? You know, all of that. We don't have to worry about all that. We have to be prudent and make good decisions, work hard, yes. But ultimately, we trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord, not in Wall Street, but in the Lord. So be encouraged today, no matter what's happening, you know, in your life and around you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Just some words of encouragement today. You didn't expect it on the way to work, but here it is. God wants to encourage you today. Once again, we're going to be talking about Opus Dei today with Dr. John Boyle and his wife, Dia. They're going to be here in a little bit. We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this amazing forum that just took place in Washington. Three ladies are going to join us to talk about it, two from the Twin Cities, one from Milwaukee, and we'll talk about that and what they learned. And you listen up for the principles here, because what they're going to be sharing with you, you can put into practice in your life right where you are at. I'm Jeff Cavins. This is the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. It's a beautiful day.
Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first, always.
President of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arricchio, and Minnesota Twins great, Dan Gladden.
Jim, communication is a big part of winning. Miscommunication in baseball can cost you the ballgame.
And it's the same in business. Miscommunication costs money.
That's why companies rely on unified communications from Coordinated, right?
Exactly. It unifies voice systems, data communication networks, mobile devices, even video conferencing.
And that creates better workflow, enhances communication, and helps customers generate new business.
Exactly. Unified Communications is another Customers First Always program that is a flexible, lower-cost way for companies to communicate and collaborate.
Jim, I did some collaborating today, and we decided you're buying lunch for the whole team, Coordinated and the Twins.
We decided?
We, me, same thing.
Unified Communications. Learn more at coordinated.com.
Customers first, always.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, here in the Archdiocese, in the Office of Evangelization in particular, there's some wonderful initiatives taking place. Want to just remind you that there's opportunities for you to get involved. Are you a man? We've got the Catholic Watchman Initiative, and you can find out more about that. It's a wonderful initiative that really focuses on really teaching and imparting seven major principles for spiritual growth for men. On a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis. On a daily basis, it's prayer. We want to teach men how to pray, teach them how to read the Bible, number two, and teach them how to walk in the spirit of St. Joseph as husbands and fathers and single generous men. We want to teach them that on a daily basis. On a weekly basis, go to Mass. Get all you can out of that. Really enter into the Mass and participate in the Mass. That's very, very important. And number five is to serve your family and your parish in some meaningful way every single week, something intentional. And then on a monthly basis, go to confession, and then also meet with other men in your parish. That's what we're talking about, the Catholic Watchman Initiative. You can find out more about that by going to the Archdiocesan website. And we'd love to assist you in your parish to get men going and to become strong men of God. If you're a woman, we have WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. A lot of different meetings are taking place around the country, but certainly here in the Twin Cities, including the launch this week of the Reading Between the Wines book clubs. You can find out more about WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, at catholicvineyard.com. And we also have a new emerging grandparents ministry that's taking place in the Twin Cities for the Office of Evangelization, and you can find out more about that by going to the Archdiocesan website. Well, right now, joining me, three lovely ladies who have just had an amazing experience in Washington, D.C. Have you ever had an amazing experience at a conference? Is there certain conferences in the last 10 years of your life or 5 years, whatever it might be, that you look back and say, that was a pivotal point in my life? Something happened. Something changed. Well, I have. I can think of several that, you know, I felt like God really spoke to me at a retreat or a conference. And I know that's true here with this conference that took place in Washington. Shannon Conroy joins us. She's the development associate with the Archdiocese Office of Development. And here in the Twin Cities, she studied philosophy at the University of Minnesota. In college, was involved in St. Paul's outreach and received Christian formation through their household and missionary program. Also, Susanna Boley is joining us here today. She's the administrative assistant with the Office of Evangelization, has worked with me over the last couple of years, and she is absolutely fantastic. She has earned a Bachelor of Arts in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas and a Master of Arts in Pastoral Ministry at the seminary. And then Mary Burns in Milwaukee joins us. She's the Director of Evangelization at St. Charles Borromeo in Heartland, Wisconsin. And she earned a Master of Arts in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. And she studied abroad in Rome with Catholic Studies for a year during her undergrad. So ladies, I want to welcome you to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
All of the credentials here, we could have done just a whole show there. And all of your credentials. Well, I'm going to start off with Susanna. You know, you've been working in the Office of Evangelization now for several years. And the three of you knew each other.
Yes.
And didn't even know, really, that all three were going to be at this
right.
conference in Washington. But you all showed up and realized that you were there. But this conference, or this forum, well, is what it's called in Washington, called Given, was really a unique opportunity to meet women around the country. Susanna, give us kind of a synopsis or a brief description of what this was about.
Yeah, well, this conference brought 300 women from around the country to Washington, D.C. for this forum. And this forum, it was meant to be a week-long immersion program in faith formation, leadership training, and networking. And the principal themes of the conference were to receive the gift that you are, realize the gifts that you've been given, and to respond with the gift that only you can give. So it's about us learning how to give our gifts, but also we received so much and felt like we were given a huge gift from all the religious who helped bring the conference to DC and put it all together. But there was a woman from every single state represented at this conference, and there were religious volunteering from 75 different orders throughout the country. And it was just 5 days of intensive prayer and conferences and working in small groups and hearing from other women and what their action plan was and how they felt the Lord was calling them to bring a specific ministry to their diocese. And it was really encouraging just to see all these different women, like mm-hmm. how the Lord was speaking to them and calling them on in ways that I would never have thought of forming a kind of ministry. One of my roommates was hoping to start a community similar to St. Paul's Outreach, but to do it in Dayton, Ohio. Another one of my friends who is in my working group, which was just a group of about five women led by a religious sister. And we would just talk about how we were processing everything going on throughout the conference. And one of them was a mechanical engineer, and she wants to start a website that will connect Catholic engineers and help them network.
That's fantastic. Now, this was sponsored by the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. That's a mouthful. You know, it's better known as CMSWR.
Yeah.
What organization is this, and why would they have supported something like this? Shannon?
So the council is basically a way to bring together the different women superiors for the different religious orders. And it's a way for them to collaborate and respond to the call of the new evangelization in the church today, support a consecrated life, and to help bring a renewal of consecrated life in the world today.
So when the three of you went to the forum and joined 297 other women, did they tell you before you went, and if you're listening to the show, you can't see this, but they have a massive three-ring binder in front of them with all of the materials from this forum. It could choke a horse. But did they tell you right away that you're going to have to develop an action plan as a result of it?
Yes, they did. Everyone who attended would receive a scholarship, so you had to apply and be accepted. And in the application process, you had to lay out your action plan, which would be open to changes down the line, but to lay out this plan that they could give you feedback on and help guide you in throughout the conference.
Now, Mary, you join us from Milwaukee, and you are the Director of Evangelization at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Heartland. Heartland, is that right outside of Milwaukee?
It is. It's just about 30 minutes west of downtown Milwaukee.
Okay. Now, this action plan, what was your action plan? What were you thinking about when you went to the Given Forum in Washington?
No, that's a great question, Jeff. And I went into it and with one action plan in mind, and the Lord kind of threw a curveball during my time there. And I
Which
came out
he
with
is known
totally
to
different.
Do, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So I came out of it with a very different action plan in mind, and one with a little bit less concrete in some ways. But coming back to Milwaukee, I was in the Twin Cities for 6 years, and living in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, it really was a seedbed of religious communities for so long, for hundreds of years, and hundreds of religious sisters and communities here. And as they have continued to get older and vocations have started to change, we're losing a lot of that young presence of women's religious here in the Archdiocese. And being at the conference with, 80 beautiful young women's religious in full habit was very inspiring to see the presence they had, their prayers, their fasting, their ability to really walk with us and guide us, and their way of really complementing our vocations as lay people with their prayers really just struck me. And seeing in Milwaukee really having the need for that presence, and if these 80 sisters could impact these 300 practicing Catholic women, how much more could that affect an entire diocese just to have that young, vibrant presence? And
sure.
So what I'm kind of working through is getting a network of prayer warriors and some of the young priests and some of the involved devout Catholics here so they start praying and fasting for having a new religious community, a young community come in from, a community that would be willing to expand and come and plant some roots here in Milwaukee and get involved in the active initiatives of evangelization here.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's a unique action plan, and one that will yield a lot of fruit. What I like about your plan is that you're really thinking about the whole community. It's not just you, and it's not just something that, for your particular gifts, but it's really for the whole area of Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's true.
That's great. Susanna, what was your action plan? Because you're in the office with me day in and day out, and I never heard you talk about an action plan.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, one thing that I went into the conference hoping to do is just to really get together a small group of young adult women and bring them together over a book club or a discussion club over an encyclical. I think that there's a tendency after graduating to be tempted to just isolate oneself from the community, and it's just harder to see people. When you're on campus in college, you see hundreds of people every day, and then all of a sudden you're graduated, and it feels like you're so much more distant than everyone. And I think that, in this time in our lives, there are a lot of my friends who are going through big, big transitions. I have friends who are getting married, friends who are going to school for their master's programs. And I think that there's a need to bring people together and help them grow spiritually and intellectually, but also just grow in community as well.
And Shannon, you got an action plan?
Yes, I do. So my action plan is to form a group of young adults that comes together for prayer, but also to go out and do street outreach to the local homeless population. And this would primarily be to form community and to help connect people to local resources. And this is just kind of that response to Pope Francis's call to acknowledge others, notice that they exist, and not just dismiss people that I would not be open to on a daily basis.
Who are some of the speakers that had an impact on you during this given forum? This is a five-day forum or 1 week? Is it five?
5 days.
5 days, yeah. Of conferences. If you're not Catholic, that means talks. you had conferences, you had talks, you had time of prayer, you had time of fellowship. Tell me a little bit about some of the speakers.
Well, I was obsessed with Gloria Purvis. I was actually texting Jeff throughout the talk. Well, not throughout the talk. I was paying attention to the talk.
Before and after.
I was not texting at all. But I was just so struck by everything she was saying. She was just this very vibrant, dynamic speaker and woman. And she gave 3 points in her talk. And her theme was reclaiming the public square, reclaiming the gifts of God, reclaiming the public square. And her points were, are you willing? And I was like, yeah, I'm willing. Yeah, sure, God, like, whatever your will is, like, let it be done. Her second question was, what are you willing to risk? And that one hit a bit close to home because I was like, okay, what am I actually willing to risk? I don't know. That's a harder question to answer. And then her third point was, you are able. You are able. And that was just so powerful. And I think that, we know that with the Lord, we can do all things, but sometimes it takes a little bit more to actually let that sink in. So that was something I really prayed with throughout the week. But also, she spoke a lot about motherhood, and that was really striking to me as well. And she just talked about the sacrifice that motherhood was. She gave this beautiful quotation by St. Teresa of Avila, which is, "Prayer and comfortable living are incompatible." And that
say that again. That's good. Like, upset us again.
St. Teresa of Avila, what are you doing? Prayer and comfortable living are incompatible. And she said, "Being a mother is building a nation when everything else is turning to dust. You are creating an immortal soul for the kingdom." And that was just, oh my goodness, like I still get chills when I think about it. Like, we are creating immortal souls for the kingdom. That's all about what bringing life into the world is meant to be.
That is, I love those quotes. I like that. I'm going to have to get that from you.
Okay, I'll write them down.
If I can repeat it six times, it'll be mine. So, no, those are very, very good. That's a very, very, very good quote. How about Shannon? Any of the speakers really speak to you?
Yes, one that was kind of a crowd favorite was Dr. Carolyn Wu, who's the president and CEO of Catholic Relief Services. And she basically just shared her story of growing up in China and moving to the United States when she wasn't necessarily supported by her family, especially as a woman who was going to study at Purdue University and having to make her own way, and how she was really taken in at the Newman Center there. And how she just continually risked and trusted in the Lord, and how she never sought out a leadership position, but he kept inviting her to those positions, kind of being in a president for academic affairs at Purdue or working at Notre Dame, and now the president and CEO of Catholic Relief Services, just seeing that servant leadership and knowing that when you're following the Lord, he really guides you and steers where you're supposed to be.
Oh, how about you, Mary Burns, in Milwaukee? Any of the speakers touch your heart in a particularly powerful way?
Well, Susan and Shannon both just stole my top two, but the other two that I was really struck by, I'm blanking on their names at the moment, but there's a woman who is working in Afghanistan helping the Syrian refugees there, and a religious sister working right on the border of Mexico working with children that are trying to cross the border whose families have passed away. And you're seeing the radical ways that they're exemplifying servant leadership and the call of Christ to reach out into the poor and really to see, like, whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did to me, and seeing just the radicality of the lives that they're living, and just kind of struck me of, like, okay, how am I actually seeking to serve Christ? And I can say I'm doing evangelization in one way, but how am I actually being the hands and feet of Christ to those in need? So it just kind of really struck me to the core and allowed me to ponder a lot.
Well, it sounds like the Lord really touched the three of you at this given forum in Washington, and you get 5 days of very, very strategic talks that are helping you form your own action plan. That's a unique opportunity that most people don't get. Well, final question I have for the three of you is, what would you say to people listening today that might not have an action plan in their life? And how would someone go about forming some kind of plan for evangelization in their own life, rather than just coasting and saying, well, this is life, you know? Any suggestions to people on what they should do?
My first answer would be just to pray, mm-hmm. to bring your heart before the Lord in adoration and just ask him to speak to you and just be still in his presence and just really pray for humility to receive the gifts that he wants to give you, that he has already given you. And ask him to, you know, be bold with him and be like, Lord, like, okay, accept these gifts that you've given me and be bold with me and show me how you want me to use them. And because when we use our gifts in service to others, that's really when we're fulfilled. So I just think it all has to start with prayer.
Jen?
Well, I would say kind of counterintuitive, but to go back to your own knowledge of who you are and to ask the Lord to show you who you are. Because I believe this is really a springboard to kind of give you freedom from your own personal orbit of being stuck in self-focus. And really during the conference, I was just struck by all these really inspiring leaders who just really had a very firm sense of who they are in the Lord's eyes and how that empowered them to go out and to follow what he's asking them to do and to respond to the actions he's asking them to make.
And how about you, Mary? Any advice to people listening right now that are saying to themselves, man, I wish I had an action plan in my life.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to come from trusting our desires, because ultimately, if we are praying and if we are rooting ourselves, like Suzanne and Shannon mentioned, then our desires are not as distant from the Lord's desires as we tend to think. And so seeing these leaders, you know, they weren't leaders because they had all of the principles down and because they went through all of the formal training. I mean, that can be helpful, but at the end of the day, I was just really struck by what lies at the heart of the leadership for these women, and that was a humble and magnanimous soul who knew her identity in relation to the Lord, and she went forward from that trusting her desires and allowing that to unfold. So I think really just trusting our desires and our relationship with the Lord and then stepping out from there.
That's a great, great answer. Is this something that's going to happen in the future, or was this a one-off? Is this just a 1 year and we're done?
Well, we definitely hope that it happens again. This was the inaugural year, and they received a very generous grant to put the forum on, but we need prayers, and they need money to put it on again. So they're trying to spread the word as much as they can.
Maybe we can get them to bring it to the Twin Cities.
That'd be great.
Then, you know, then you don't have to travel. Then we can have everybody here at the show. Well, I want to thank you ladies for joining me today, Susanna Boley and Shannon Conroy, Mary Burns over in Milwaukee. We want to thank you, the three of you, for sharing with us today about this great forum in Washington that was sponsored by the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You bet. As we say in Minnesota, we're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to talk to Dr. John Boyle and his wife, Dia. Have you heard about Opus Dei? Maybe you've heard about Opus Dei from some of your friends, and they've been telling you a little bit about Opus Dei. We're going to learn about that today and see. Maybe this is a fit for you on how you can engage in work, in the work of God, in a more fruitful way. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to be back in just a moment.
If you desire to put your whole life in conversation with God, then Fire From Above is a book that will profoundly affect your spiritual life. In Fire From Above, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Dean of St. John's Seminary, draws on centuries of spiritual wisdom from the church's greatest mystics, showing how you can develop a deep prayer life that leads you to communion with God. Fire From Above will help you overcome the many challenges and frustrations to contemplative prayer, and it will show you how to pursue alone the Lord and His divine plan for your life. You can buy your copy of Fire From Above from Sophia Institute Press by calling 1-800-888-9344 or visiting sophiainstitute.com. sophiainstitute.com. Buy Fire From Above today, and you'll soon embark on the epic adventure that is the life of prayer, drawing even closer to God and reaching for holiness.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. We're going to be talking in just a little bit to Dr. John Boyle and his wife, Dia, about Opus Dei. But I want to take just a few minutes right now to talk to you about something that's really important. You know, we as Catholics, we go to Mass every single week. That's really what we're asked to do, is to go to Mass every week, not as so much an obligation. You know, you hear people talk about that. They say, well, it's my Sunday obligation, you know. It sounds like it's some kind of like paying taxes or something, you know, like that. It's my obligation. Well, by obligation, what we mean is that this is something that is really necessary in your life. And it's necessary not for the offering or anything else like that, but it's necessary because it is the point in your daily life, in your weekly life, where you come into a place of intimacy with God that gives you something and gives God something. There's an exchange that takes place here. And what you receive from Mass is not just some downtime. You know, I wonder how many people go to Mass and they don't really engage in the Mass, but it's just sort of a downtime, kind of a Sedona, Arizona experience, you know, of I just needed some meditation time and I needed some quiet time for my soul. And what we end up doing sometimes is just thinking about other things in our life, like the bills we have to pay, or the kids are coming home from college, or, well, you know, what are we going to do to sell the cabin, or whatever it might be. There's all kinds of inner narratives and dialogues that go on during Mass that might not have anything to do with Mass. And that's kind of indicative of a life that isn't spending quiet time throughout the rest of the week. And that once they get that quiet time in Mass, they think, "Whoa, wow." And then they start thinking about the problems in their life. That's really not what Mass is about. Mass is about a union with Jesus Christ. It is the great sacrifice that took place 2,000 years ago that is not repeated, by the way, but it is experienced sacramentally. It's experienced sacramentally in the Mass every day around the world. And around the world, every Catholic Church is celebrating the Mass with the same readings, it's the same focus, and it's the point where heaven and earth kiss. It's where time and eternity embrace, and we are with Jesus. And we participate in that sacrifice that took place 2,000 years ago. But in that Mass, there are two major things that we receive. We receive direction through the liturgy of the Word. We hear the readings. God is speaking to us, and we have a homily that should encourage us, you know, to go deeper in our life. So we receive the Word of God and encouragement, but we also receive in the liturgy of the Eucharist the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that is not a small thing. Listen to what I just said there. That is not a small thing. You are receiving the body and blood, soul and divinity of God, of Jesus Christ, into your body, which is the greatest source of grace. You know what grace is? Some people say, well, it's God's riches at Christ's expense, kind of an acronym. But grace really is the life of the Trinity. It's the life of God, and you receive that life into your life in the Mass. And I got to ask you a question. Do you need that? Do you need the life of God in your life right now? If you do, then Mass is really the place that you need to participate in the Mass. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. If you know what's going on and you can enter into it. Now, there are two presuppositions. There's two assumptions, I should say, that are necessary if you're going to get out of the Mass everything that God intended for you. One is that the Mass presupposes that you know Jesus Christ, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because what happens in the Mass is a covenant relationship, an embrace between God and us, an exchange of persons. God gives himself to us. We give ourselves to God. It's a very powerful and intimate thing that's taking place. And the marital act in marriage is not unlike this. It's a complete giving of oneself to the other. And so, if we're going to get everything we can out of the Mass and experience this, it presumes that you know Jesus. You know him as your Lord. You know him as your Savior. You know him as your everything. And the only way that you can do that is to really develop that relationship with him. And that's what this is all about. You know, it's about on a daily basis learning from him, walking with him, worshiping him, praising him, trusting him, leaning on him. That comes from day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out of a relationship. So if you go into Mass without a relationship, then what's going to rise in your thinking during Mass is probably going to be other things that are dominating your life right now and taking up the lion's share of your thoughts and your heart, your passion. And that might just very well be the finances in your life. You know, it might be the problems you have at work. But that's not what God has called us to during Mass. And certainly he can speak to you during the homily. You know, Father gives a great homily and he talks about trusting Jesus. You may think about your finances and you might think about your home and so forth. And that's good, but you shouldn't be preoccupied all throughout Mass with everything that is going unattended throughout the week. So number one, if you're going to get the most out of Mass, you really need to develop that relationship with Jesus. Might I suggest a time of prayer every day, a time where you get together and you read his word every day. If you have no schedule for really meditating on His Word and letting Him speak to you, might I suggest Magnificat? Google it, Magnificat. You can get a small booklet of the daily readings with a little commentary, and it's a small companion that you carry with you throughout the week, and it accompanies you, and God can talk to you in His Word. Or you can bring a small Bible with you throughout the day and let God speak to you in a personal way. So number one, that relationship with Jesus. But number two, if you're going to get the most out of Mass, it presupposes that you know the story of salvation history, that you know Scripture, that you know God's plan, you know His words and deeds in salvation history. Not only does the entire Mass spring from this amazing story that we find between Genesis and Revelation, but not only that, God reveals Himself between Genesis and Revelation. He reveals Himself to you in words and deeds. And it's in that context of God's revelation, His family plan, that you begin to understand your plan and you understand your life. And so everything from the Mass springs from this amazing story. As I just mentioned, it all springs from this amazing story. But God can speak to you in a more intimate way if you know the story of salvation history. And so I encourage you to get into a good Bible study, get into a good Bible study and begin a plan to listen to Him on a daily basis. My wife and I, sometimes we'll kind of joke about how going to church every single week, the churches are full, but we wonder, well, how many people they're really here, in their thinking or understand what's happening in the Mass. One thing that you can do, which is a powerful thing, is to make it a point in your family to understand what's happening in the Mass. And there's a lot of good Bible studies. There's a lot of great resources out there that can help you. You just Google it. You can go to any of the popular publishers today. Most of them have some kind of, adult formation program about the Mass that you can get involved in. But make it a goal in your family's life to make sure that by the time those kids are in at least junior high, that they understand what the Mass is all about. Because one of the biggest things we hear from college students who have left the Catholic Church is that they say they don't understand all this. They don't understand the Mass. They don't understand the faith. They know of the individual particles of the faith, Mass, Communion of Saints, Blessed Mother, confession, sacraments, all of that. But they don't know how it all fits together into a nice narrative. It's a story, of salvation history and our relationship with God. So it would really behoove you to make sure that the kids know what's happening in the Mass. Just a few thoughts, to get the most that you can out of the Mass. By the way, I was just thinking before Dr. Boyle comes in, I was just thinking about the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a marvelous tool to understand everything Catholic. You have four pillars in there in the Catechism, and it kind of gives you a master plan of knowing who God is and His plan for your life. And here's how it goes. Number one, the first pillar is the Creed, and the Creed is the story of salvation history from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's amazing plan. It's His amazing plan. It's the big picture. So you've got the Creed, and the second pillar of the Catechism is sacraments and liturgy, and that's how you get into God's amazing plan. And the third is life in Christ. That's your personal script. It's what you live in this amazing plan. I'm living that today, hopefully. I'm living the life of Christ, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. And then fourth is prayer, and that fits into every category. That is dealing with Bible study and understanding salvation history. It's a prayer, and the Mass is a prayer. The sacraments are prayer, and life in Christ is we're in constant prayer and in touch with Jesus as we live His life. So it's very, very, very important. By the way, I want to remind you that the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute is taking applications right now for the fall. And it's starting to fill up. So if you want to go through the two-year program of studying the catechism, it is an incredible program. Over 1,500 people in the Twin Cities have gone through it, and it's a two-year program that will teach you all about the faith in a practical way that you can put into practice. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your relationship with money. It'll change your relationship with work, everything. And every fall, we start up with a new class. It's about 150 people that are taught by some of the best teachers in the Twin Cities at the seminary, St. Thomas, other places, both clergy and lay instructors. And you meet on Monday nights and for 11 weeks for every one of the four pillars of the catechism. So that's fall, spring, 1 year, fall, spring, the next year. That's a two-year commitment. You do some reading. You do some answering some questions. You come and you meet with a small group on Monday night, and you talk with some friends about what you're discovering, and you listen to a really good, good talk about that portion of the catechism. At the end, you get a certificate of completion given to you by Archbishop Hebda, and it means that you have really taken the time to learn your faith. And I know that some of you are wondering, is God calling me to something maybe even beyond my regular job? Is he perhaps calling me to be a director of religious education or evangelization or youth minister at a parish? If that's something that you're thinking about, this very well may be the first point of preparation for you to do that. In fact, if you're thinking about becoming a deacon in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, the first thing that you're going to be asked to do by the Archbishop and Bishop Cousins is to go to the Catechetical Institute and prepare yourself for the diaconate. It really is, I think, the most powerful and solid way for Catholics to prepare themselves for ministry and prepare themselves to be mom and dad and great representatives of the kingdom at work. Your life's going to change. You can go to www.cistudent.com. That's cistudent.com to register. And by the way, this fall, the class is called the Class of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Isn't that powerful? Every class has a different name. Joining us in the studio right now is a friend of mine, Dr. John Boyle, and you probably have heard Dr. John Boyle over at St. Thomas. And he's joined by his wife, Dia, and today he is going to be talking along with Dia about Opus Dei. Have you heard about Opus Dei? A lot of people will say to me, I've heard about this Opus Dei, but I'm not sure what that really is. I'd like someone to be able to explain that to me. Dr. Boyle is professor of Catholic Studies and Theology at the University of St. Thomas, director of the Master of Arts and Catholic Studies program at the university there, a manager of the Rome program. Many of our listeners, I know you have gone to Rome with St. Thomas in the past, and he's also the associate editor of Logos, a journal of Catholic thought and culture. Snuggle up to the mic there, and I want to welcome both of you to the show today. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here.
Dia, thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Well, we have a few minutes to talk about Opus Dei today. First of all, what does Opus Dei mean? And tell us a little bit about this ministry within the church that a lot of people have heard about but maybe don't know what it really is.
Thank you, Jeff. Opus Dei, it's pretty simple. It's about sanctifying our lives and all the ordinary things. And trying to develop the ability to bring God's presence into everything we do, family life, professional life, especially our professional life, our work, so that our work is sanctified and we're sanctified, and hopefully we bring those around us closer to Christ.
So it's focused on your relationship with Christ, but as it relates to work?
Especially as it relates to work.
Work, I would say, an ordinary life.
Whatever
ordinary life involves. Which is work is a big part of that, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a big part of everybody's life. What else would an ordinary life be relating to?
Family life, social life, your leisure, your interests, really every part of your life.
Tell me a little bit about the founder of Opus Dei.
Yeah, that's St. Jose Maria. Dia and I were just talking, driving over when we joined Opus Dei. He was simply Monsignor Escrivá, and we've watched beatification and canonization over the last several years, and now, of course, he's part of the church, which is what's so beautiful. And he was a Spanish priest who was given this insight into really the sanctification of ordinary life. He's the saint of the ordinary, I think St. John Paul called him. And he was given this vision of what this was to look like in 1928, and he spent his entire life trying to help others live it, and part of that became the founding of Opus Dei.
Give me a little description of what, in a month, let's say, what would life be like? What could you expect from Opus Dei? What kind of things do you encounter? What kind of meetings do you go to? What kind of commitment do you make to become a member of Opus Dei?
I suppose first we want to say, with Opus Dei, we're talking about a vocation. Well, it's called Opus Dei, but the beautiful thing about Opus Dei is it provides help and assistance for many. I think a good analogy a friend of mine uses, Opus Dei is like coaching. So we're not necessarily big on events. We do have monthly recollections. We have them at the cathedral here in St. Paul every month. And there's retreats. But the real thing is helping people. Oftentimes, you know, we come to them. Our priests are widely available. Unfortunately, we don't have priests in the Twin Cities except for the recollections. But the point is, it's kind of coaching to help apply that general principle to one's life. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we have lots of activities that we go to. Members do have a small weekly activity called a circle. We go on retreat. But fundamentally, the point is to be in the world, mm-hmm. and to bring this presence of God to the world, to wherever we are.
Dia, what has it meant for you as a woman of God and a member of the church here? How has Opus Dei changed your life?
When I first heard of Opus Dei and encountered Opus Dei, and that would have been in the late 80s, I'm a convert. I'd been a Catholic for, I think, about 10 years at that point. But I had never heard the church's the call to holiness, that everyone, the universal call to holiness. I first heard that through Opus Dei. And now we hear it. I think most Catholics do hear that from the pulpit. It's much more a part of the ordinary teaching of the church. It's in the catechism, you know, Vatican II, of course. But when I heard that we are all called to be saints, and that was serious, we're really called to live a life of holiness, I felt like someone was finally taking my spiritual life seriously, my life as a Catholic seriously, that I wasn't just there to, you know, to put my envelope in the collection plate, but I was really there to deepen my relationship with Christ and bring that to others.
Mm-hmm.
So in my life now, I live it especially through friendship. I think friendship is something that our culture needs more and more of an emphasis on. And by friendship with other women, with young women, with older women, with friendships between couples, like John and I with other couples, we really make an effort to live our spiritual life in a way that others can benefit from it.
I know that my good friend Scott Hahn is also mm-hmm. a member of Opus Dei, and he speaks about it and wrote about it.
Yeah. Beautiful book.
A beautiful book about it. If someone's interested, they're listening now and saying, you know, I would like to know how my relationship with Christ can be a part of my work in my ordinary life. What would be a first step? We have a couple minutes left. What would be a first step for them to find out more about Opus Dei?
First step, probably Opus Dei website,
okay.
opusdei.org. I recommend reading St. Jose Maria. He has a wonderful little book, The Way, 999 Points for Prayer. Take it to your time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and ask our Lord to speak to you through that. You'll learn a lot about Opus Dei. And the other, I would say, in the Twin Cities here, come to a recollection. They're free and open to the public. Recollection for men at the cathedral, 6:30 to 8:30, first Monday of the month. Recollection for women, the Tuesday immediately following.
Let me get that down just one more time. We got the recollection for the men. It's the
first Monday of every month at the cathedral.
6:30?
6:30 to 8:30, except on July 4th, which is a Monday. and then the women are the following night, Tuesday,
okay.
6:30 to 8:30, also at the cathedral. Priest of Opus Dei comes up from Chicago. And it's a preached recollection.
And no need to feel like a stranger, huh?
No need to feel like a stranger.
You're welcome, right?
Everyone's welcome.
That's fantastic. Well, I encourage people to look into this. You know, a lot of people feel this great disconnect, as it was mentioned in Gaudium et Spes from Vatican II in paragraph 43, the split between faith and ordinary life. And that's quite a chasm for many people. And I think to bridge that gap and to bring them together is a great gift. And you don't have to live only 30% of your life or 20% of your life with Christ. You can live 100% of your life with Jesus. Absolutely. In the ordinary.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
Thank that's you, Jeff. That's a gift. And I've been to the Evening of Recollection myself, and I found it to be a great comfort and a great grace in my life. And it's something that I have prayed about myself. And I encourage our listeners to continue to pray about that too. Ask God. He wants you to take this step into Opus Dei. Dr. John Boyle and his wife, Dia, thanks for joining us today.
Unfortunately,
we don't have a whole lot of time, but we want to have you back at some point.
Be delighted to come back. Thank you for having us, Jeff.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of activities going on in the Twin Cities this summer as it relates to the church, and we want to let you in on just a few of those with Paul Sadek. He'll be joining me in just a moment. This is the Rediscover Hour.
I'm here at Mall of America celebrating 99 days of summer with Ned, the human sound effects machine.
Hello.
Who's here to bring all the fun and excitement to life.
Let's do this.
Start with Nickelodeon Universe.
Whee!
28 thrilling rides and attractions for all ages.
This is fun.
And now soar through the misty clouds at the newest attraction, Flyover America.
Whoosh! I'm flying!
The new Crayola experience is now open with 25 hands-on attractions.
Ooh, coloring.
Name and wrap your own crayon.
Wrap it.
Create colorful melted wax spin art.
Spinning.
And enjoy a live show.
Whoa!
Those aren't really sound effects.
Oh, they get better. Keep going.
At Sea Life Minnesota, get nose-to-nose with sand tiger sharks, brown sharks, and more, over a dozen different species.
Glub, glub, glub!
Explore the new interactive shark discovery exhibit.
Here, sharky, sharky.
There's bowling and games at Skydeck Sports Grill and Lanes.
Strike!
And over 50 restaurants and 520 stores to explore.
Ka-ching!
Stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, the hotel conveniently connected to the mall. The kids will love the indoor swimming pool.
Glub, glub, glub!
You did that one already.
Yeah.
Enjoy all 99 days of summer at Mall of America. Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
I have time for you, Lord Jesus. That's right. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you on this beautiful, beautiful day in the summer. We can say summer now. And one thing for sure is the words, "I am bored," in the Catholic Church will never be a reality.
There's no excuse for that.
There is not, because we've got a lot of things that we're going to invite you to right now. Paul, what's going on?
For example, the relics of two saints who exemplified courage and conviction in the face of persecution are coming to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Relics of St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher will be available for veneration at the Cathedral of St. Paul Sunday, June 26th, 6:30 to 8 p.m., Tour is organized by the Minnesota Catholic Conference and part of the broader Fortnight for Freedom, a call to 14 days of prayer, education, and action for religious freedom in the United States and abroad. Learn more by going to archspm.org, click on events, or go to mncatholic.org/relics.
All are welcome to this year's Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday Celebration, hosted by St. Michael Catholic Church in Kenyon, which will be held at the Ron and Kay Keller Family Farm beginning at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 26th. This celebration will include the Eucharistic liturgy and a creation blessing with Father Donald DeGrood presiding. He's going to preside there. Food, refreshments, and family fun activities are going to follow. For more information and directions, visit the events page on www.archspm.org or call the Office of Parish and Clergy Services at 651-290-1647.
Mary, Mother of the Church in Burnsville, invites you to a healing service Sunday, June 26th. Mass begins at 6 p.m. with Father Jim Perkle. After Mass, there will be a presentation by Alan Ames on his amazing story of God's love. After his heart was transformed, Alan changed from being a violent man to a humble, loving servant of God. Following his talk, confession will be available, as well as an opportunity to be prayed over by Alan Ames. For more information, visit the parish office or give them a call, 952-890-0045.
Northeast Theology at the Pub is an evangelization initiative for all and is brought to you through Holy Cross Catholic Church. Theology at the Pub will bring theology to the bar this Tuesday, June 28th at Stanley's in Northeast Minneapolis. The theme will be Grill the Priest with Father James Adams. For more information, visit www.ourholycross.org.
And lots of things coming up on the Rediscover Hour in the coming weeks.
We are putting our schedule together right now for the rest of the year, and we've got some really good programs coming up. But one thing I want to say is we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you on what type of topics would you like to hear on the Rediscover Hour? Do you know of a particular priest or religious or a lay person that is really doing something unique? We'd like to hear, so give us a shout. Give us an email at Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org. That's Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org. Love to hear from you. Have a great day.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.